Chapter number 11. Are we going to be all right up here? I'm sure we will. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to continue our series in the Hall of Faith. A number of weeks ago, we looked at verse number 29 of Hebrews 11, and we looked for the first time at a group who exercised faith. We had started, and I think we started back in January looking in this chapter, and we looked at individuals. Remember, Enoch walked by faith, and Noah warned by faith, and we looked at all the W's. We looked at wholehearted by faith and waiting by faith, and we said Jochebed and Amram, they worked together by faith. We come to these two scriptures, verse 29 and verse number 30, where the Bible says that a group of people operated by faith. And I want to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. We looked just at verse number 29, and we'll read that by way of introduction. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, talking of the children of Israel, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And we said, from this scripture, from looking at the faith that the group of Israelites exercised, we said, we talked about a winner, and we're looking at winners by faith, and we looked at a winner understands that God sometimes leads us to wilderness impossibilities. You remember that? Children of Israel were led by God to the Red Sea. They were led to a difficult situation. It was a wilderness impossible situation, and God delivered. Secondly, we said a winner understands that in times of wilderness impossibility, a person of faith always looks to God. And then thirdly, we came to this conclusion, a winner understands that the arm of flesh is always overcome by the wilderness impossibility. I want to pick up with verse number 30 this morning and continue the same theme as we look at winners by faith, part number 2, and I want us really to focus our attention this morning on verse number 30, where the Bible says this, looking at a second event with the lives of children of Israel. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We've got two indications here of this group, the children of Israel, a group that operated by faith and saw God deliver. We saw the Red Sea a couple weeks ago, and today I want us to look at compassing the walls of Jericho and the walls of Jericho coming down. Before we do, let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege to stand here week after week and preach truth to your people. I thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your folks each and every week that come hungry to hear from you. Father, I realize and acknowledge this morning I can't do anything to help your people, only you can. And Father, I yield myself to you this morning and ask that you would empower me to take truth. And Lord, that you would use truth in our lives. Spirit of the living God, I ask that you would illumine hearts. I ask that you would change our lives. Lord, we look to you for what you will do and only what you can do. We give you the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. A number of years ago as a teenager, I had an opportunity to play paintball. I don't know if you've ever played a paintball, but I played really just twice. The indoor was awful. I hated indoor because you were too close to the person. And when they shot you with paint, it hurt. I mean, it really hurt. You'd walk away with big welts. We were playing outside paintball with my brothers and a couple friends of mine from church, from the youth group, and we were really outnumbered. We came and we just had these little pistols, and these guys had paintball rifles, you know, and they knew what they were doing, but they put us all together and sent us out in the woods, and the idea was for us to capture the other team's flag and to keep them from capturing our flag. A friend of mine was out in the woods by himself, trying to sneak up upon their flag when he found himself surrounded by what would be the enemy, I guess, in paintball, the other team. He found himself surrounded by the enemy and realized that he had no ammunition left. And so he said, well, I have a choice. I can either die and let them not die like die, you know, get shot and be done, the game be over, or I can use my brain and I can think. And so he decided that he would come up with a strategy. He changed his thinking, if you would, understanding that he was surrounded by other people, he went with a different strategy, and that was this. He decided that he would pretend. He believed that he could scare away the enemy if he would pretend that he was in the woods with a whole bunch of his buddies. And so he had his unloaded gun, and he had his imagination out in the woods, and he said this, "Okay, John, go get him on the right side. Hey, George, you get him over there on the left side. Pete, you and I, we'll move forward. Henry and Joe, you guard us." And out loud, he began to give instructions to an imaginary group of people that weren't there with an unloaded gun. Do you know what happened in that instance? The men that were surrounding him took off and they fled. And here he was walking with his non-loaded gun to the rest of us and say, "Here I am, what do you need me to do?" He stayed in the battle because he came up with a strategy that would help to fend off the enemy. Do you know our thinking and what we believe is really vital to us being on the victory side? What we allow ourselves to think about, especially when we face confrontations, especially when we face situations in our lives that are like the walls of Jericho. Oftentimes in our lives we face situations that are like the walls of Jericho. And we need for these walls to be moved. And it is important that we think and operate and act by faith. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter number 6 as we look at this tremendous story. And I want us to draw some conclusions from the story that I believe will help us as we look at part 2 of a winner by faith. A winner believes, number 1, a winner believes God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. A winner believes that God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. Look at verse number, Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up. Obviously Jericho had heard what God had done through the children of Israel, and Jericho had heard that God had won many battles. And Jericho was obviously a fortified city surrounded by walls, and they shut up the doors and the windows because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and thereof and the mighty men of valor." Children of Israel find themselves in Jericho, and they found themselves with a city that was surrounded by a huge wall. The walls of Jericho, according to Butler, says were quite formidable. Some believe, because of archaeological findings, that Jericho's walls were a double wall. We do know from Scripture that the wall was strong enough to have houses built on it, for the Scripture says that Rahab's house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Think about someone's house on a wall. Obviously, that wall has to be pretty thick. It has to be pretty substantial. It has to be able to support, then, a living quarters. So the walls of Jericho were no flimsy walls of a foot or less thickness like many walls we see today. They were substantial walls of great thickness, enabling people to have houses built on them. But as strong as the wall was around Jericho, it did not protect them. Jericho was, for all human purposes, a city that was absolutely impossible for anyone to go through and destroy this city. The walls were thick and the walls were big, but it was God's plan for the children of Israel to conquer the land of Jericho. I want you to think with me, or look with me, in chapter number 5 and verse number 13, because it's interesting, before of the children of Israel find themselves at this city in front of these walls. Verse 13, the Bible says that God came to Joshua, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. We read of that when we read of the character Moses. And God met with Moses and gave Moses a task to do. And God met with Joshua. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, it's my plan for you to conquer this city of Jericho. Now, a winner believes that God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. I want you to think about this for just a minute. Think about that city, first of all, in light of the children of Israel. They're standing here looking at this city with these big walls that are real thick. Doors are shut, understanding that they were really supported there. And humanly speaking, there was no way for them to get in and conquer the city. But think about this. How do you think Jericho and the walls of Jericho looked in the eyes of God? Have you ever been in an airplane? You get on an airplane and you think these buildings that are real big and huge, they're gigantic, right? It's gigantic, not gigantic, but I like that other word better. And you see these big walls, these big buildings. You get on an airplane, everything looks about this big. I mean, you know, to God, when He looks down and looks at these big walls, what do you think He sees? You know, maybe something that was this big, just this big a little bit? When you see life from God's perspective, I remember as a kid, my dad would often have a family fun night, and he'd go down to the basement, and he'd get some cardboard. I don't know where he got all the cardboard, but he'd make us stay upstairs. And he'd go down to the basement, and he'd make a maze out of cardboard. And he'd get this big maze going through the whole basement. And we'd go down as kids, and, you know, the walls, as little kids, the walls were like this, you know. We'd get in there, and we'd try to hide and find ourselves, and we'd hide in the corner somewhere. We think, Dad's never going to find us. Never in a million years he's going to find us. Look, we're down here, it'll take him forever. And my dad would walk down, and to him the walls, you know, they were like this high. And he could just, you know, he could look over, oh, there they are over there. And he could walk through, and Dad, how'd you find us so quick? Well, I just know where you were, you know. And we would hide, and we would think as little kids that maybe he couldn't find us. When we look at the walls of Jericho or the Red Sea from God's perspective, it is absolutely nothing. See, Joshua met with God. God gave Joshua His perspective, and Joshua was living now on God's perspective as he faced these walls. A winner believes, Joshua believed, that God's power was not limited by any walls that man would build. You know, people build walls around themselves, don't they sometimes? God can penetrate and break through there. Do you remember the time someone gave you the gospel and you resisted the first time and resisted the second time, resisted the third time? I remember a preacher friend of mine telling me a story. Actually, it was a teacher at Bob Jones, an older fellow, told us a story in Preacher Boys. And he went to witness to this guy, and this guy was big and burly, and he had a gun. He said, don't you ever come back here. Ever. To make a long story short, there was a day God put him on his heart and he decided he'd go back. And when he went back to give him the gospel, this man that had walls built all around him, God had been working in his heart, and he bowed his knee and trusted Christ as personal Savior. You see, God's power, folks, is not limited by any walls that man might build. You remember the story. We won't go into all the details, but you remember the story of the Titanic. Man builds a boat. They build this great big ship. And they put it in God's puddle. I don't see that. You know what I'm saying? They put it in the ocean. And it has nothing to God. And they put it in the ocean. And they say this. This boat is so powerful that not even God Himself can sink it. That's why it's sunk. You raise your fist in God and say that, God will prove Himself to you. And you put this little boat in God's little puddle. And God causes the thing. Obviously, it hits an iceberg and sinks, and many lives are saved, but many lives are out into eternity. God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. By the way, can I say this? In light of that, it's not this trial here is not for God. It's for God's people. How fast could God have gotten the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land had He wanted? A whole lot quicker than 40 years. But there were some things about himself that he wanted his people to understand. There were things about himself that he wanted his people to depend upon him for. And so he allowed his people to face what to them was a human impossibility, the walls of Jericho, and he gave them a command, conquer the city of Jericho. All right, so number one, a winner believes God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. I want you to see number two. Number two, a winner believes that God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. A winner believes that God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. Here you are, a trained soldier, maybe not a trained soldier, somebody that's got talents and abilities, and you're staring at the walls of Jericho. Now look at God's plan. God gives them the plan of attack. He says, all right, I want you to conquer this city, but here's how you're going to do it. Don't you like that? I like that about God, that He doesn't just tell us what to do, but He enables us. He gives us the plan to do it. Look at this plan. This plan is probably the strangest set of orders that was given to any army. Here's what God says. Look at verse 3. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests, not six or ten, shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua called the priests and said, take the Ark of the Covenant, let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. Specific details. March in a certain order. Do a specific thing. March at a specific time. Compass the city a certain number of times. He also says they need to be silent. Some of us would have might have a difficult time with that. Absolutely silent. I like silence for about 30 seconds. And if someone in my house doesn't talk, then I start talking. Well, we got to learn how to be quiet, right? And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, blew the trumpets. And you've got specific details that, humanly speaking, do not make sense. They don't make sense. I mean, these orders are kind of strange orders. A winner believes that God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. What does that mean? That means if I don't understand what God's doing, that doesn't matter. God can still work. You think about it. Who would keep somebody from getting out on the walls and killing them? How are these big walls going to fall down? They didn't have any, dynamite or tanks. You don't get the tanks. And you think what was going through the mind of the children of Israel was probably a little scratch in their head saying, huh, we're going to walk around these walls. I want you to see 2 sub-truths here, and that is this. Number one, God's instructions do not have to make sense in order for us to do them. God's instructions do not have to make sense in order for us to do them. Do you know God sometimes asks us to do things that don't make sense? You say, how do you know? Well, look at Naaman. Here he is, a leper. He's got leprosy. And he wants to be healed. And our little servants just go to the preacher. Elisha, he goes to the preacher and he says, hey, dip 7 times in the filthiest, dirtiest, scummiest river over there. He said, oh, wait a second. That don't make sense. 7 times in the river? Couldn't you have picked a cleaner river? Couldn't he have asked me to do something a little more important or a little more of royalty? He asked me to go into this river. Can you see him in the river? He goes down 1 time, comes up. Oh, man. Goes down another time, comes up. Man, this is ridiculous. Can you see the humility? What happens when he goes down and he obeys God? God heals him. The disciples are on a hillside and Jesus had been preaching and he's preaching the word of God and they're preaching all day and the people get hungry. And Jesus says, hey, the disciples feed them. And they go, all right, let's hit the Chick-fil-A down the street. That went to Chick-fil-A down the street. No free coupons. No McDonald's. They say, you know, all we got is five loaves and a few fish. And Jesus says, well, here, give it to me and we'll feed the people. But there's a whole lot of people. You know, just 5,000 men. There's a lot of people. Humanly speaking, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. To Naaman, it didn't make sense to wash in the river. To the disciples, this doesn't make too much sense. But they give the food to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He breaks the bread, he multiplies the food, and he feeds the people. Bible says it is the foolishness of preaching that saves some. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. The fact is, God's instructions do not have to make sense in order for us to do that. Oftentimes, we're willing to obey if we understand all the details. We understand everything that we're supposed to understand from start to finish, then I'll obey. That's not faith. And that's not what God often asks us to do. He says, you take the step of faith and I'll enable you. But secondly, I want you to see this with regards to this. Not only God's instructions do not have to make sense, God's instructions do not have to make sense to us in order for God to work. We've got two aspects here. We have our obedience, and we sometimes want to understand it before we obey. But listen, whether we understand it or not, God's instructions don't have to make sense to me in order for God to be able to work. Do you realize that God can work even when we don't understand? He does work. We don't understand all that God's doing. And sometimes we think God is not at work because we don't fully understand, because it don't make sense. We don't think God can work. Can you picture Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus there with Martha? And he says to Martha, Martha, and these folks that are there, remove the stone. And Martha says, Jesus, he's been in there 4 days. I mean, this guy's going to stink. She didn't understand. But the fact that she didn't understand didn't keep Jesus from raising Lazarus from the dead. It wasn't that she had to understand that limited Christ. No, he was not limited by her lack of understanding. He stood and said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. It's important for us to understand that a winner believes that God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. Joshua, they saw, they got the instructions from God. And they realize this is what God wants us to do. And so this is what we're going to do, whether we understand it or realize what's going to happen or not. They obeyed. Thirdly, I want you to see this. By the way, this is often how we get off the ground of faith and fall into unbelief. We get off the ground of faith because we don't fully understand something, so we don't obey. We don't understand how God can use us to take a gospel tract or to take the gospel and witness to somebody and they'll get saved. I want to figure it all out. We don't understand how God can work in our circumstances, in our situation, because it's so difficult or so challenging. We don't understand it, so we limit God and say, well, God's not going to work. He's too busy working on this one and that one and there. And we limit. Listen, God wants us to believe Him. He wants us to stay on the ground of faith. All right, number three, I want you to see this. A winner believes that God's working is not limited by man's timetable. God's working is not limited by man's timetable. Look at verse number 12. So Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So did they 6 days. In God's plan, not only did He have instructions for them as far as what to do, but He also had a timetable. He said, you go around one time, first day. You go around one time, second day. You go around in total 13 times. I can see some of us now in our 2009 culture. Lord, it'd be a lot more efficient, don't you think, if we would all just go around, we could probably go around 13 times. I mean, all in one day, get it all over with. Boom. Then we won't have to get up and, you know, curl our hair and all that every day. You know, we just go around one time. That's all. I mean, 13 times and it's all done and over with. Huh? God had a timetable. You do this one day, you do this day, you do this. You know, God is not bound by time. You know, God doesn't wear a watch up in heaven and say, well, okay, here's what we got to do now. The Scripture says, 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Psalm 90 and verse 4, the Bible says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's timing is often not ours, but His timing is perfect. A winner believes that God's working is not limited by man's timetable. We pray for something, or we want to see something happen, and we want to see it happen now. And if it doesn't happen now, or doesn't happen an hour from now, we think God's not working. We think God's not at work. We pray for somebody, and we pray that they'll get saved, and we go, and we give them the gospel, and it doesn't appear that anything's happened. We come back, and we find ourselves discouraged, and thinking God's not working. God is not limited by our timetable. And how often do we think things should be just like this, this, and this, and this, and God says, hey, that's not how it is. To God, time is not the important thing. To God is our spiritual Christ-likeness. He wants to conform us into His image. And it's important, just as the children of Israel took the time and did what God said and didn't try to cram on, they just obeyed. In God's timetable, God would work. In God's timetable, He'll work in our lives. He'll work in the situation that you're concerned about. He'll work in the people that you're praying for. Don't give up. Continue to pray and continue to trust God and continue to believe God even in the times of waiting. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. His timing is absolutely perfect. Don't ever forget it. His timing is perfect. So we've got a winner then. Believes that God's working is not limited by man's timetable. And number four, I want you to see this. Look at verse number 20. Lastly, I want you to see this. A winner believes that God's deliverance is not limited by man's ability to see it. A winner believes that God's deliverance is not limited by man's ability to see it. Look at verse number 20, and then I'm going to have you turn to another passage of Scripture. Joshua chapter 20. Before we read Joshua chapter 20, we need to remind ourselves of, Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, excuse me. Joshua 6, verse 20. We're going to read verse 20. Before we read verse 20, let me remind us of this. Hear the children of Israel, what have they done? They've gotten out the instructions of the Lord, and they've said, okay, you go first, we'll go second, you go third, okay? They've gone around the walls. They walked around the walls the first day. They walked around the walls the second day. They walked around the walls the third day. They're coming up to the seventh day. Now let me ask you a question. What have they seen happen? Nothing. They haven't seen nothing. They walked around. Nothing really happened. No bricks started to fall. In verse number 20, the Bible says this, so the people shouted, when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now you can believe, some people believe different ways. I tend to believe that somehow the earth opened and somehow these walls were gone. You think big walls, and they got all these bricks and all this mortar, and what, they got to climb over these walls to get in? I mean, this is a supernatural work of God. The walls fell down flat. But listen, they hadn't seen anything up to this point in this particular area of their life. They had seen the Red Sea. They had seen God work in the past. Now they're staring at Jericho, and they've not seen anything. They had some instructions from God. Obviously, Joshua met with God, and God told Joshua, hey, I'm going to deliver this city. Obviously, they had promises of God and what God wanted to do. God wanted to take them to the promised land. They had the promises of God. They had seen what God did in the past, but in Jericho, they hadn't seen anything. And it wasn't, they understood that God's deliverance was not limited by man's ability to see it. They hadn't seen anything, and they obeyed God, and what happened? God came through. They weren't operating on the ground of sight here. They were operating on the ground of faith, and as a group, they saw God knock these walls down. I want you to turn with me real quick to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. We find a similar situation, not necessarily with the walls of Jericho. We find a situation with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the Ammonites came across to Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. You have great army, multitudes against God's people. Jehoshaphat fears and they seek the Lord. They proclaim a fast and he has a tremendous prayer in verse 6 and verse 7. We like verse 12 in his prayer. He says, God, wilt thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Our eyes are upon thee. When you don't know what to do, by the way, keep your eyes on him. The devil will try to get you to get your eyes on something else. Some person, some circumstance, some impossibility. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And what happens? The Spirit of the Lord comes to Asaph, Spirit of the Lord, verse 14, in the midst of the congregation. And he says, verse 15, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. All right, they're surrounded by a host of army that's going to attack them and looks like they're going to be destroyed. The prophet comes and says, hey, God is going to deliver. The battle is God's. They kept their eyes on the Lord. Now look at verse number 20. They hadn't seen anything except a big problem. A whole lot of enemies after them. They hadn't seen anything to this point. They sought God. They asked God to work. God said, I'm going to work. I'm going to deliver. And here's what they do. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood. Verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. The king is saying, let's believe God. Let's believe that God's going to deliver. And look at this. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They haven't seen anything yet, folks. They haven't seen God work. But they said, hey, we've got to believe God. We've got to believe what God's man said. And we've got to believe that God's going to deliver. And they began to praise God for His goodness and His deliverance. And look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You can read the rest of the story later. But the idea here, the idea we see in with Joshua in Jericho is this. A winner believes that God's deliverance is not limited by man's ability to see it. That's faith. Jehoshaphat, they didn't see any movement. And they said, hey, we've got a word from God and we believe it and we're going to praise God for what God's doing and what God's going to do. And when they praised God, God moved and God delivered. The children of Israel were surrounded by they were walking around the walls of Jericho and hadn't seen anything. But they understood, hey, just because I can't see it, that doesn't mean that anything. Just because I don't see any bricks moving, I don't see any dirt moving, that doesn't mean anything. Because they understood that God's power, God's deliverance was not limited by man's ability to see it. And God delivered. And God worked. A winner believes, number one, that God's power is not limited by any walls that man builds. Some of you have walls that man has built in family and relationships and people you're burdened to see saved. I say, trust God. Be a winner. Say, God, I'm going to be a winner because I'm going to put my faith in You and I'm going to trust that You're not limited by any walls that man builds. You're not limited at all. You're not limited in walls of children or walls of moms or dads, whatever. God is not limited by any walls man builds. Number two, a winner believes that God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. Some of you go through circumstances this year, you don't understand. You don't understand what's happening and sometimes in people's lives and you go through changes and this and that. And you think, I don't understand it. That doesn't mean God's not at work. God's ways are not limited by man's understanding. Thirdly, a winner believes that God's working is not limited by man's timetable. Are you on your timetable? Are you on God's timetable? You see, to God a day, 1,000 years, He's trying to accomplish something in your life. The walls are nothing to Him. From His perspective, it's just a little piece of something on the ground. You're not seeing these big walls. We often see big walls and we see, God, I got to conquer this city. I got to conquer this. But the walls are big. God doesn't see what you see. He's got a divine perspective. But His timetable is different than your timetable. He's trying to teach you about Himself and He's saying, go ahead, walk around again. Keep your eyes on Me. Walk around again, keep your eyes on Me. Walk around again and keep your eyes on Me. And in His perfect timing, the walls will come down and God will bring the deliverance. Lastly, a winner believes that God's deliverance is not limited by man's ability to see it. You work on a loved one and try to see him saved and there's no movement. And humanly you think, you know what? This is impossible. It's not impossible with God. You got a situation and you're trying to do what you can and in a situation or circumstance, whatever, and you try and try, and it seems like the heavens are brass. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. God's still at work. And just because you cannot see something doesn't mean that God still isn't at work. It doesn't mean that God still can't deliver. He can deliver. May God help us as His people to be winners by faith. Because we believe what is right. We change our thinking and we look at life from His perspective. And God will give us the victory. Let's pray together.